Then it was over, and the guests were gone, and night came. And with the silence over the house, and with the ebbing of merriment, strength passed from Olan, and she grew weary and faint. And she called to her the two who had been wed that day, and she said, "Now I am content, and this thing in me may do as it will. My son, look to your father and your grandfather. And my daughter, look to your husband and your husband's father and his grandfather and the poor fool in the court. There's she. And you have no duty to any other." This last she said, meaning Lotus, to whom she had never spoken. Then she seemed to fall into a fitful sleep, although they waited for her to speak further, and once more she roused herself to speak, yet when she spoke it was as though she didn't know they were there, or indeed where she was. For she said, muttering and turning her head this way and that, and her eyes closed, "Well, and if I'm ugly, still I have borne a son. Although I am but a slave, there is a son in my house." And again she said suddenly, "How can that one feed him and care for him as I do? Beauty will not bear a man's sons." And she forgot them all and lay muttering. Then Wang Lung motioned to them to go away, and he sat beside her while she slept and woke, and he looked at her. And he hated himself, because even as she lay dying, he saw how wide and ghastly her purpled lips drew back from her teeth. Then as he looked, she opened her eyes wide, and it seemed there was some strange mist over them, for she stared at him full and stared again, wondering and fixing her eyes on him, as though she wondered who he was. Suddenly her head dropped off the round pillow where it lay, and she shuddered and was dead. Once she lay dead, it seemed to Wang Lung that he couldn't bear to be near Olan, and he called his uncle's wife to wash the body for burial. And when it was finished, he wouldn't go in again, but he allowed his uncle's wife and his eldest son and his daughter-in-law to lift the body from the bed and set it into the great coffin he had bought. But to comfort himself, he busied himself in going to the town and calling men to seal the coffin according to custom. And he went and found a geomancer and asked him for a lucky day for burials. He found a good day 3 months hence, and it was the first good day the geomancer could find. So Wang Lung paid the man and went to the temple in the town, and he bargained with the abbot there and rented a space for a coffin for 3 months. And there was Olan's coffin brought to rest until the day of burial, for it seemed to Wang Lung he couldn't bear to have it under his eyes in the house. Then Wang Lung was scrupulous to do all that should be done for the one dead, so he caused mourning to be made for himself and for his children. And their shoes were made of coarse white cloth, which is the color of mourning, and about their ankles they bound bands of white cloth, and the women in the house bound their hair with white cord. After this, Wang Lung couldn't bear to sleep in the room where Olan had died, and he took his possessions and moved altogether into the inner court where Lotus lived. And he said to his eldest son, "Go with your wife into that room where your mother lived and died, who conceived and bore you, and beget there your own sons." So the two moved into it and were content. Then, as though death couldn't easily leave the house where it had come once, the old man, Wang Lung's father, who had been distraught ever since he saw them putting the stiff, dead body of Olan into the coffin, lay down on his bed one night for sleeping, and when the second daughter came in to him in the morning to bring him his tea, there he lay on his bed, his scattered old beard thrust up into the air, and his head thrown back in death. She cried out at the sight and ran crying to her father, and Wang Lung came in and found the old man so. His light, stiff old body was dry and cold, and thin as a gnarled pine tree. And he had died hours before, perhaps as soon as he had laid himself upon the bed. Then Wang Lung washed the old man himself, and he laid him gently in the coffin he had bought for him, and he had it sealed, and he said, "On the same day we will bury these two dead from our house, and I will take a good piece of my hill land, and we will bury them there together. And when I die, I will be laid there also." So he did what he said he would do. When he had sealed the old man's coffin, he set it upon two benches in the middle room, and there it stood until the appointed day came. And it seemed to Wang Lung that it was a comfort to the old man to be there, even dead. And he felt near to his father in the coffin, for Wang Lung grieved for his father, but not unto death, because his father was very old and full of years, and for many years had been but half alive. Then, on the day appointed by the geomancer, in the full of the spring of the year, Wang Lung called priests from the Taoist temple, and they came dressed in their yellow robes and their long hair knotted on their crowns. And he called priests from the Buddhist temples, and they came in their long gray robes, their heads shaven and set with the 9 sacred scars. And these priests beat drums and chanted the whole night through for the two who were dead. And whenever they stopped their chanting, Wang Lung poured silver into their hands, and they took breath again and chanted, and didn't cease until dawn rose. Now Wang Lung had chosen a good place in his fields under a date tree upon a hill to set the graves. And Ching had the graves dug and ready, and a wall of earth made about the graves, and there was space within the walls for the body of Wang Lung, and for each of his sons and their wives. And there was space for sons' sons also. This land Wang Lung didn't begrudge, even though it was high land and good for wheat, because it was a sign of the establishment of his family upon their own land. Dead and alive, they would rest upon their own land. Then on the appointed day, after the priests had finished the night of chanting, Wang Lung dressed himself in a robe of white sackcloth, and he gave a robe like it to his uncle and his uncle's son, and to his own sons each a robe, and to his son's wife and to his own 2 daughters. He called chairs from the town to carry them, for it wasn't meet that they walked to the place of burial as though he were a poor man and a common fellow. So for the first time he rode on men's shoulders, and behind the coffin where Olan was. But behind his father's coffin his uncle rode first. Even Lotus, who in Olan's lifetime couldn't appear before her, now that Olan was dead, she came riding in a chair in order that before others she might appear dutiful to the first wife of her husband. So for his uncle's wife and for his uncle's son, Wang Lung hired chairs also, and for all of them he had robes of sackcloth. And even for the poor fool he made a robe and hired a chair and put her in it, although she was sorely bewildered and laughed shrilly when there should have been only weeping. Then, mourning and weeping loudly, they went to the graves, the laborers and Ching following and walking and wearing white shoes. And Wang Lung stood beside the 2 graves. He had caused the coffin of Olan to be brought from the temple, and it was put on the ground to await the old man's burial first. And Wang Lung stood and watched, and his grief was hard and dry. And he wouldn't cry out loud as others did, for there were no tears in his eyes, because it seemed to him that what had come about was come about, and there was nothing to be done more than he had done. But when the earth was covered over, and the graves smoothed, he turned away silently, and he sent away the chair, and he walked home alone with himself. And out of his heaviness there stood out strangely but one clear thought. And it was a pain to him. And it was this: that he wished he hadn't taken the 2 pearls from Olan that day when she was washing his clothes at the pool. And he would never bear to see Lotus put them in her ears again. thus thinking heavily. He went on alone, and he said to himself, "There in that land of mine is buried the first good half of my life and more. It is as though half of me were buried there, and now it is a different life in my house." And suddenly he wept a little, and he dried his eyes at the back of his hand, as a child does.
This ends Disc 8.